go ahead and call the Judiciary Committee meeting together. Today we have Senator Olson, Senator Dyson, Senator Wilkowski, Senator McGuire, Senator Coghill as the chairman. Today the intention was to take testimony on Senate Bill 49, which is the bill that I've introduced dealing with medical necessity for the purposes of making payments under the Medicaid program. My intention is to take testimony. There were several people that came in last week and just could not make the meeting, and so I said that I would continue on until the public testimony was completed. So, Senator McGuire, you had a question?
I just have a question for you that just occurred to me. This would probably be the right time to ask it, and to ask it on the record, since Senator Wilkowski had asked that Wednesday we be prepared to hear from the commissioner. I had just a couple of things that I'd like to have explored on the record, too, as a part of the record, and I was going to see if maybe Karen could help us look into the right people to answer them. I've been looking in the statutes, and I don't have a real clear read, but here are the areas that I'd like to have somebody talk to us about, and maybe it's Catholic Social Services or Covenant House on the first one. The first is, I want to know in our adoption statutes, I looked through them and I know what they say, but how they're working in Alaska. Who's in charge from the state level, and then how adoptions are playing out in real life for the women that we're talking about in this particular bill that have already said they don't want the child that they're carrying. However we feel about that, that's what they've said. If the state does not pay for this abortion, we can hope they change their mind during the course of that pregnancy, but they may not. And so if they don't, how does that adoption play out in the future? So I'd like to know a little bit about that, because I've had calls that have come in from some women in my district about that. The second is intermission nursery. When I was a court-appointed special advocate for abused children, there was a place called the intermission nursery. And this was a place that young mothers who were in trouble could take their babies to take a little break. And I don't know if that still exists or not, but I'd like to have somebody talk about that on the record, if it still exists and if they need more funding, or you know, where they sit on that. And then finally, in the area of Head Start, that's the last one that I wanted, and maybe this is the commissioner could talk about this. What does it take to qualify for Head Start, and what would it take to expand that just a little bit more? Because again, the commitment, you know, we have made to life in this body is profound, and in this bill, certainly we would be. The testimony, at least that I have heard, is from Planned Parenthood that if this definition is narrowed, that in her opinion, virtually almost all abortions that previously were given under the definition of medical necessity would no longer qualify. So at a minimum, fewer would be performed, right? So more lives born here in Alaska. And my concern, and I just want to say this and wrap up, is for children. My concern is for children, that they're wanted, that they live good lives, and that they get a good start. And I know you know that, Mr. Chairman, and I know you share that. And I'm going to get emotional when I talk about it, but I just want to say that everything that I do when I'm a senator is for the children. And when you just think about the fact that you're already talking about a woman that is saying she does not want that life, for whatever the reason is, it's a pretty bad place to start. And so it's appropriate for us to say that we're not going to fund that. It is appropriate. But we need to think as policymakers about that life then, because we are taking on that life as a responsibility And so I just asked on Wednesday if we could expand the testimony a little bit about some of those resources that are out there for the children that are then born. Mm-hmm. And can they be adopted? What are the potential barriers that we might want to add into an omnibus bill for a child that remains unwanted to get into a home where they are wanted and loved? Intermission nursery, a place where their family can get relief so that they aren't in a place of danger. And then those pre-K programs, you know, what I learned was almost everything that a human being learns is between the ages of 0 and 3 years of age. Bonding,
mm-hmm.
your
language skills, everything.
Language, your capacity to feel, emote, and I don't want to see these children later on down the line. I want to see them early and get them the support that they need. And so I just say that, and I appreciate your indulgence.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, it just goes to show that this touches a lot of different areas. Even though it's a narrowly crafted subject, it touches life. Yeah. Senator Dyson?
Yeah, I share those concerns. I can tell you from my own experience that there's far more couples looking for children than there are children
yes.
to adopt. And we have lots of Alaskans adopted and trying to adopt children out of the Russian Far East. I know people have gone to China and India particularly, and girl children there are very easy to adopt and considered, unfortunately, worthless. And in our state, there's some segments of the population where it's difficult to, ICWA plays a part in it, and it's difficult to find qualified parents. And it, but there's none of those kids you can say nobody wants them. And I know people who have adopted profoundly handicapped children with great joy. You know, so I think the demand far outstrips the supply of children.
Yeah, and just to keep us focused, this issue is really about when is something paid for under medically necessary and when is it elective. But you're right, there's about $27 million that we put in every single year to the social service network. Many of them deal with the very issues that you brought up, and it wouldn't be wrong for us to have a commissioner speak to several of those, both the statutes, the stats, on all those. But this really is a much more narrowly crafted issue. It obviously has two elements to it. The element that you brought up, the more technical legal arguments. And I think as we get into the testimony of people, you're going to see that it spills over into all those areas. But I'm going to try to keep us narrowly focused on when is something elective and when is it something that is considered medically necessary under the Supreme Court definition that really brings this bill before us. So thank you for that time. And I think my commitment was to those who wanted to come in and testify. And are they the same as these here?
No, nothing will be repeated.
Okay, nothing will be, okay, good. My intention is to go ahead and take public testimony tonight, let people have as much as they say so. I will kind of skip around because we have people in Fairbanks, Petersburg, Homer, Matsu, so we'll kind of skip around. And for those in the room, the last time the people in the room kind of got the last pick, so I'm going to try to give them the first pick as much as we can today. So so as soon as I get that list up here, I will go forward. In Petersburg, we have Lynn, I think it's Escola. And Lynn, can you hear us?
Yes.
Lynn, why don't you identify yourself, any affiliation, and then give us your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. My name is Lynn Escola. I live in Petersburg, and I represent myself. I'm a back alley abortionist. A lot of people don't realize that this occupational group even exists in Alaska. Back alley abortionists have been dormant here for decades. Frankly, Roe v. Wade put us right out of business. But since then, we've seen the legislature enact a number of laws intended to restrict the availability of legal abortions in Alaska. SB 49 is yet another such law. For this, the back alley abortionists of Alaska thank you. SB 49 is job-creating legislation for us. Step by step, by making it harder for women to get legal abortions, you're giving us our clients back. And not just any clients. SB 49 will give us the clients we target first and target hardest, the most vulnerable ones, poor women. So keep it up, please. Keep up your excess government regulation of private behavior. Keep up imposing your personal morality on strangers. Keep up legislating medical judgment. That's a pretty neat trick, legislating medical judgment. But hey, if it works in China and it works in Pakistan, why not in Alaska? SB 49 has lifted my hopes of a resurgence in back alley abortions so much that I've retrieved my professional tools from the attic, and I'm scraping the rust off my knives. I'm waiting. I'm waiting.
The test fire is through.
All right.
Hi, my name is Ken Tooney. I'm from Ketchikan, Alaska, and just like to voice my support of Senate Bill 49. Just don't feel that abortions at all, actually, but definitely not abortions that aren't medically necessary should be covered by Medicaid or by taxpayers' dollars. So I'm just voicing my support for Senate.
And my apologies, I didn't have you on my list, so give me your name one more time. Did you drop off? I didn't catch your name, so and I don't have you on a list here.
Ken,
so.
Hi, are you still there?
Yes, I can hear you. What was your name again, just for...
My name is Ken.
Okay.
Last name...
Oh, okay. All right. Thanks, Ken. I didn't have you on one of my lists here, so...
Okay, they just patched me through.
You managed to jump right in line there, so...
Well, that's good. Did I testify already, or...?
Yeah, what... Give me your last name and where you're from, Ken.
Sorry, it's our bridge operator.
Oh, okay.
He's from Ketchikan.
Ketchikan, okay. All right. Well, that was a little break. So I have several people here in the room, and so I'm going to go mix it up a little bit so that people in the room don't get left out like I kind of did last time. So I have Thomas Matthews. Why don't you come on? I better read who's here to testify then. The yes is Rachel Gearhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Rachel Gearhart. I reside in Senate District P, and I'm here to urge the Senate Judiciary Committee to vote no and oppose Senate Bill 49. I've never testified in front of the state legislature, but I cannot stand idly by on this matter. Sorry.
Just take your time and get your composure.
I'm an unmarried, monogamous mother of none by choice. I have an education and a career, and I'm stable by all accounts. I work with very vulnerable populations, those with severe mental health disorders, those in the throes of substance use, those living far below the poverty line, and those who are barely able to hold on to hope. Sometimes these women need abortions, but they can't because they can't raise a healthy, supported child. And it's not your job, with all due respect, to determine what she needs. But I have also come to know well-educated, financially stable career persons who anyone would consider functional. And they have also sometimes needed abortions because even they, too, are unable in some way to raise happy, healthy children. Abortion is never an easy option, but it is sometimes the best option, and we must respect women enough to allow them to make this heavy decision for themselves, for their emotional health, or whatever that means to them. Though not a lifelong Alaskan, I have lived in Alaska 6 years, long enough to know that it is a state built on independence, freedom, and personal choice. For this reason, SB 49 concerns me. By not allowing a woman and her health care providers to make her own medical decisions, we take away her ability to be independent, free, and her personal choices meaningful. The relationship a woman has with her health care provider is sometimes the only safe and stable one in her life. Lawmakers with unfortunately no real personal connection to all of their constituents is simply just not the best person to be deciding what I or any other Alaska woman does with her body, including what is medically necessary. Instead of trying to reduce access to a vital, valid, and safe medical procedure, let's reduce abortions overall by educating our citizens on prevention, by giving them useful and factual information about their bodies in a way that they can translate into their own lives and well-being. Let me reiterate that abortion is never an easy option, but it is sometimes the best option, and we must respect women enough to allow them to make this decision themselves. Again, thank you.
Thank you for coming and testifying your first time. Thank you very much. I'm going to go to Fairbanks Legislative Information Office, Pat Chambers.
Oh, hi. I am here to support the SB 49. I'm so happy that it was introduced. I know it is morally the right thing to set a high bar, especially when we're trying to kill innocent babies who cannot defend themselves. And it is our duty to do the right thing, and hopefully, you guys don't worry too much about emotional people who cry about not being able to kill babies. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. I appreciate you taking the time to come testify. We have here in Juneau, is it Alicia Margaret? Marriott? I'm sorry. Come on in, testify. I can blame it a little bit on trifocals.
A little bit. Sounds like the hotel. thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Alicia Marriott, and I live in Senate District P in Juneau. I oppose Senate Bill 49 and would like to encourage the members of the committee to do the same. I'm going to speak broadly about the topic because I'm not very good about talking about controversial subjects, but I was born and raised in Alaska, and it never ceases to amaze me how diverse this state is. As a young woman growing up in Juneau, I have always felt fairly safe. The city is small enough that I know I can go almost anywhere and seek help nearby. It's also big enough that we are equipped with the law enforcement and other accountable agencies to look after us. Some communities in the state are not so fortunate. Through my travels and education around the state, I've encountered a variety of different communities, large and small. No matter where I go, I am amazed at the lifestyle and experiences that some of us may consider hardship and adversity, while others know it as everyday life. One of the most common threads I see in struggling communities is that many people lack resources in one form or another, whether it's financial, emotional, medical, or otherwise necessary to their well-being. I've met men and women who were forced into adulthood too soon because they never got to be a kid. Some of the many examples I can think of include girls who are raped, molested, and assaulted by their family members or friends. I've also met plenty of people who have thrived regardless of the difficulties they've experienced because many of them have the support and resources that most people should have a right to access. I know that this bill includes rape and incest under medically necessary, but I don't think we need a law to dictate to the medical professionals what is medically necessary. They're the doctors, and the women they work with have a right to choose. If you take away this resource and the funding, that may deny women the support they need at some very trying times, and would further oppress those who may have already been dealt a pretty difficult hand. In the context of historical trauma, and as Senator McGuire explained, that's a pretty bad start for such a young, vulnerable life. I would just like to urge you to take some time and think about the vulnerable populations of the people of this great state who are often overlooked because of their location or their economic status or cultural background. I feel that it's my personal right and the rights of all women in Alaska and elsewhere to decide what is best for our reproductive health. And by voting for this bill, you're imposing your opinion on my right to care for mine and the women of Alaska's reproductive health. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Appreciate you taking the time to come to testify. I'm going to go to OffNet because I've got some people from the other side of Alaska. I think Dr. William Cox from Nome.
Yes, I'm here.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can, Senator.
Go ahead and identify yourself, any affiliation, and give us your testimony, Doctor.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, thank you for allowing me the opportunity to testify. My name is Dr. William Cox. I'm a radiologist. I've been a radiologist in Alaska for over 28 years. I'm speaking strictly on my for myself. I'm not representing my hospital or any other organization. I've been reading OB sonograms for over 28 years, so I'm kind of in the mix here with the abortion issue. I do oppose this bill. I remember the mandatory ultrasound debacle from the last session, and I was very strongly opposed to that, having politicians mandate diagnostic medical procedures. And it's kind of hard not to see this current bill as kind of a continuation of the attempts to restrict abortion whenever, wherever, and however possible. And this particular bill would strictly target the poor, which is very unfortunate. I think a medically necessary, or whether a procedure is medically necessary, should be decided by the doctor and the patient because they're the ones that have access to the information and data, which is all confidential. They're the ones best able to make the decision and not anyone from outside of that relationship. So I think that should be left to the physician and the patient, what's medically necessary. And of course, the state should continue to maintain, general oversight over medical practice, which includes, ensuring licensure, adequate hygiene, quality of the standards of care, and that, but not insert themselves into particular issues like abortion. And I also understand. I think in recent testimony, you had some supposed experts who were testifying that abortion can somehow lead to later depression, and I haven't had a chance to research that. That we're moving into a new hospital up here, so it's been kind of busy. But I'd be a little skeptical or dubious about that. I would point out, there is a medical entity called postpartum postpartum depression, which is grounded in science and is universally accepted by the medical community. And that's an instance where, for some reason, women become depressed after they have their baby. And it has nothing to do with whether they wanted the baby or not. It's, but certainly we're not, we wouldn't be urging women who become pregnant to have an abortion just to avoid postpartum depression. So I'd be very careful about cherry picking or relying on experts that maybe just present or represent one side of the issue. I think if it's a concern about decreasing the number of abortions, I would urge you to, first of all, support, medically accurate and age-appropriate sex education. Also support, universal no copay contraceptive coverage, and support over-the-counter morning-after pill. And I think we'll see a reduction in abortions with those particular steps. And that pretty much summarizes what I'd like to say, and I just want to thank you for your time and for hearing me out.
Thanks for taking the time out to testify. I appreciate it, Doctor. In Anchorage,
thank you.
In Anchorage, we have Lynette Phillips. Lynette, can you hear us all right?
Yes, I can hear you.
Good. Why don't you put yourself on the record and give us your testimony. Thank you.
Yes, for the record, my name is Lynette Phillips, and I'm in Anchorage, and I'm representing myself. I just want to say that I am in support of Senate Bill 49. I do think that Medicaid should only be covering medically necessary abortions or in the case of rape and incest. I don't think that taxpayers need to be on the hook to be paying for elective abortions. I see SB 49 as being a very reasonable bill. And also, I understand that this is a separate issue, but I really appreciate the discussion on adoption. I think that was it's something that could be looked into further, and I think it's a very important issue to be looked into that would be a resource for many families that do want to have kids and are not able to and are looking for kids that they could adopt into a loving home. So I appreciate being able to voice my opinion on that.
Thank you, Lynette, for taking time to join our committee and testify. I'm going to go over to Palmer, to Amy Walker.
Hey.
Put yourself on the record and give us any affiliation, if any.
Hi, my name is Amy Walker, and I live in Palmer, and I represent myself. As a mother and grandmother, I oppose abortion at any time because our first unalienable right is the right to life. Taxpayers should not have to pay for the irresponsibility of others who have made wrong choices. Many have testified that women should be able to make choices concerning their own bodies. I agree with that. However, a baby is not a part of the mother's body. The baby is a separate, individual, unique person. No mother has two heads, four arms, four legs, two brains, two hearts, and so forth. As concerning SB 49, I would like to ask that the provision for accepting rape and incest as medically necessary be removed, because these babies that are created in this horrible tragedy should not be held responsible for the father's crime. A case in point is Rebecca Kesling, who was conceived and raped, and because her mother chose to give her life, she is now a successful adult and pro-life attorney. So I would appreciate it if you would consider removing the exception for rape and incest in this bill, and that only a medically necessary abortion, although I would oppose all abortions, but if you want a medically necessary abortion, it is only one that would truly take the life of the mother, not accept her because she's depressed, she's inconvenienced, she doesn't want it, and other things like that. So thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us. Duly noted. Thank you. We're going to go back to the room here, and Karen Robinson, did you want to testify? Thank you, Karen.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, for the record, and members of the committee, thank you for allowing me to testify today. I'm here today testifying on behalf of the Alaska Women's Lobby. And the Alaska Women's Lobby is a statewide grassroots organization dedicated to advancing the rights of women, children, and families. Mr. Chairman, we are not able to support Senate Bill 49 in general and specifically oppose limiting the definition of medically necessary to exclude mental illness. We believe all women, including poor women, have the right to control their reproduction. Their medical decisions should remain private between the woman and the doctor. We believe doctors, not legislators, should decide when an abortion is necessary. We believe doctors should be free to use their medical judgment based on the considerations of all factors. We believe the Supreme Court got it right when they defined the words medically necessary very broadly to allow the attending physician the room they need to make the best medical judgment. With that said, we also believe that hard work and tough decisions were made this last year. On June 27th of last year, the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services proposed clarifications to the rules that regulate when the state Medicaid program pays for abortions. Approximately 457 Alaskans participated in the public comment period. Following this period, the administration took these comments into account when determining the final regulations. The new regulations, as we understand, went into effect January of this year. And what we ask is that we appeal to the you, the sponsor, and other sponsors to hold off on the legislation and give the new regulations a chance to work and before we basically spend more time and energy and money on what we all know is most likely going to be more lawsuits. We also really appeal to you and maybe with you having the commissioner come forward, that you might also ask him about the women's health Medicaid option. All studies show that if we can get this Medicaid option in place, that and we have good family planning, and we assist women in the state with, you know, breast and cervical cancer screenings, with birth control, that alone should bring our abortion rates down substantially. So we just ask for you to look at those options, whether you move forward or not, that you keep those things in mind and see what we can do to work together to bring down the number of abortions in this state. And I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thanks, Karen. Senator Dyson would like to ask you a question.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to see you. Good appreciate see you. The work you do.
Thank you.
What would you consider to be an elective abortion?
Again, I'm not a medical doctor, really have no judgment on that. I would not want to really comment at this point. That's not something I would feel comfortable doing.
Well, yeah, and I'm talking about things that are not medical situations.
Right.
You can't think of any?
Again, I don't really have a comment. I, again, believe that that's, you know, what you may perceive as elective and if you know and understand the whole circumstances, it may not be to that person. It may be something extremely serious that they make that decision on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to the Fairbanks Legislative Office right now. We have Lance Roberts. Lance, can you hear us okay?
Yep. It's Lance Roberts in Fairbanks, speaking for myself. So I'm hoping that you'll move SB 49 forward. The state desperately needs a definition for medically necessary. Good legislation requires good definitions. We certainly shouldn't have a program that puts out a lot of money, taxpayer money. You know, we all have a share of that money, and that money is right now being used to kill babies for purely elective reasons. And we need to stop that. So please, I would ask you to put forth and pass this bill with a good definition of what medically necessary is, so there's a solid line that everyone can use, that the doctors can use to make their determinations, and they don't have to use some of the wishy-washy reasons that we've heard out there being used. It's incumbent upon government to come up with these, for the regulations they're imposing, to come up with good definitions. And I'd like to comment on the very first commenter and how sad it was that people would make jokes about killing babies like that was a light thing. And I hope that none of you are taking it lightly and you realize the full implications of what we're dealing with here. This is incredibly important that babies aren't being killed just for convenience sake. It's really a sad mark on our society that that even happens at all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lance, for taking your time out of your schedule to come testify. Greatly appreciate it. I'm going to go over to Homer, to the Legislative Office in Homer. I've got Diana Conway. Can you hear us, Diane?
Yes. Hold it down as long as you.
Just identify yourself and give us your testimony.
My name is Diana Conway. I'm speaking for myself. I've listened to...
Something happened where you just dropped off. Can you, if you can hear me, I don't know if you hit a mute button.
Yes. Do I need to start over?
No, just say your name and then we'll go on so that those recording it can get it.
Okay. Diana Conway is my name. I'm testifying for myself. I've listened to all three of the public hearings in their entirety on this bill, and so I've heard both sides. At the very first meeting, you, Senator Coghill, and your aide, Chad Hutchinson, stated that this bill has the sole purpose of bringing us into compliance with federal Medicaid rules, not to do away with abortion. After listening to the testimony, I've concluded that's really not true, and I would certainly support what Karen Robinson just said about from the Alaska Women's Lobby. Nobody has offered any evidence to this committee that the federal government has ordered Alaska to define medically necessary abortions in our state statutes. Almost all testimony in favor of this bill was offered by people who stated opposition to abortion in general. Those people, I think, would rightly scream tyranny if the law forced them to have an abortion. And so we must call tyranny any attempt against the already established right of women to choose abortion for themselves. The Alaska statutes don't define medically necessary conditions for back operations, knee operations, or heart stents. That decision is left to a woman and her doctor, even if Medicaid is paying. So too should the decision whether or not to have an abortion. I urge the Judicial Committee not to pass Senate Bill 49, and that concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana, and appreciate you sticking through all the meetings. Just for clarification, the Supreme Court said that states should only pay for medically necessary abortions and then put a criteria out there. So they did leave open the criteria, and so my purpose is to help define what is elective, because they did not define that. So that's my aim. And you're right, the many people testifying on both sides have taken it in very, very different directions. So next, while we're there in Homer, why don't we have Kate Flynn. Why don't you go ahead and testify, Kate?
Okay, I will. This is Kate Finn, F-I-N-N.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you.
That's all right. I don't care. And I'm testifying on my own behalf. I have been a nurse in the state for 36 years, working primarily in public health and women's health, however, so I do have that as a background. There's a couple of things that I'd really like to say, and I've actually researched today and tried to have other people help me research how the state is going to define rape. It's clear from Senate Bill 49 that rape and incest circumstances will allow a child or a woman to access Medicaid funding for an abortion. But my question is, who decides if the sexual event was a rape or an incest? Is it decided based on the circumstances reported by the woman involved? Is it a decision that the court makes? Do the police decide? Do there need to be witnesses? Who decides this very important piece of information? I was a sexual assault nurse examiner here in Homer for 5 years, and I really have a concern about who is going to be deciding if rape is the issue. I'm really, really concerned about this. And if there is not already a good definition, which I have not been readily able to find today, I think that something is cannot be included in the bill, because there is no evidence as to who's going to be deciding that. And also on incest. So this is a huge definition problem in this bill for me. Secondly, it's commonly acknowledged in and out the medical profession that the physical body's condition is not the only thing that matters when considering medically necessary interventions. In determining medical interventions, we in the medical profession commonly acknowledge mental, emotional, and social considerations as highly influential and necessary to determine one's medical status and outcome. So restricting Medicaid funds only for physical risks of sex and life is ignoring a huge portion of what matters in literally and figuratively saving a life. One other point I'd like to make is that many psychotropic medications are teratogenic and should never be used in pregnancy, but may be the only medication that stabilizes the individual's symptoms. A woman needs to be given the choice of whether or not to carry a pregnancy to term under these conditions. Other mental, emotional conditions can also be very severely compromised by the pregnancy and by the postpartum period, even if a child is going to be put up for adoption. So to limit medically necessary to physical conditions is not what healthcare does, is not what medicine does. So the limitations that are put in this bill have no relevance to how all medical care decisions are made. It's extremely limited and therefore highly inaccurate. Do I have to stop, or can I have another minute?
You can actually take another minute if you wish.
Okay. All right, I will then. preamble to this I won't do because it's too long, so I'll just kind of come right to the point. Since Senate Bill 49 seems to come from neither a conservative fiscal point of view, which has been pointed out by other people, that the same woman who's likely to need money in order to accomplish an abortion for the pregnancy is also very likely to need money for herself and her child. That's great if she chooses to carry this pregnancy on, if it's her choice to do that. Let's support her. Let's support her all the way through the pregnancy, through the childbirth, through the first couple years of a child's life, until she and the child have an opportunity to support themselves. I'm 100% for that. But if she chooses not to do that, then let's let her have that choice. She and her physician can make that decision. So since it's not a fiscally responsible decision necessarily to make, since an abortion will cost vastly less than supporting a woman and child for years, and I can only figure out that it's certainly not a medically responsible decision because it doesn't fit into any of the way medical professionals make their decisions with regard to individual patient care, I can only conclude that this is coming from your religious beliefs. And I honor your personal belief system. I do. And I ask that you honor the personal belief systems of others. And please don't trivialize or discount the life circumstances, the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual ones that bring a woman to the moments of having to make such a momentous lifelong decision about whether or not to seek an abortion.
Appreciate you taking
that. That does conclude my testimony, unless someone can please answer to me how rape is defined. How is somebody going to determine that?
Well, we actually have statutory definitions, and I don't have them right in front of me, but there are definitions within our statutes for those. And our testimony says that probably less than 4% of those paid for by the state fall into that category, but there are definite legal protections for those who fall in that category, including federal law and state law. So very well defined. We're going to move along so that we have time for other people. I have many, many people off net here, but I do have one in Mat-Su that came out to the legislative office, Karen Lewis.
Yes, thank you, Senator Coghill and other members. Thank you for hearing this. It is very important, and so thank you very much. Roe legislated immorality in our nation, and since then, for 40 years now, over 55 million children in the womb have been murdered. And people can say, well, it's not murder, it's not a person, it's not a human, but it is. We know it is. What else would it be? That is a human being at its earliest stages of life. And we have been involved, you know, as a nation, in there's blood all over our nation. And we who know that killing children in the womb is murder, we do not want to be an accessory to murder through paying for it by, you know, with our tax dollars. So thank you for bringing this up. Now, the woman who spoke, I think her name was Karen, she said that she thinks that women and their reproductive abilities, but I agree, you know, women should be responsible for their reproductive capabilities. If they do not want to get pregnant, then they should not get pregnant. It is not rocket science. I mean, women only can get pregnant about 2 days out of the month. All they have to do is be aware of what they're doing. And I know that youth get pregnant, but that's because they're sexually active and they're not taking care of what they're supposed to. I mean, but we should not kill a person, a child, because people are inept. That is just, unconscionable. So I want to thank you again, members of the committee, for bringing this forward, and I congratulate you. I appreciate you legislators who continue to fight for righteousness, for things that should be. And I know without a doubt that we should not be killing our children in the womb. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming on. We're going to Anchorage off net to, is it Dylan Robertson? Dylan, can you hear us?
Hey there, this is Dylan.
Thank you for staying on the off net, and go ahead and identify yourself, any affiliation, and give us your testimony.
Yeah, so my name is Dylan Robertson. I'm just representing myself, and only 24, so I don't have a whole lot of technical knowledge to impart, but I guess I have 2 points I always like to address. I am in support of SB 49, and I think purely from just being a stewardship issue of not having terms and being able to define such a costly thing.
Yeah.
You know, with such limited resources, I know someone brought this point up before, with so much struggle with our budget, you know, it just makes sense that we have to be stewards of it and have to be able to dictate what is paid for by Medicare and what is not. And so I'm just kind of a rational finance accounting kind of guy, so that just makes sense to me. But I know, and so I want to bring in my second point, that the mental weight and the impact this takes on both the girl and the guy involved with abortion. I got to experience that firsthand with a friend of mine who has been a part of 3 abortions, and he actually desired to raise the kid, but the woman chose not to, and he is just destroyed. He just fell apart on me, and I have never really seen someone be so burdened by something. And he has such a desire to raise a kid and be a dad and to do that and go with it, but the girl has chosen 3 different times to have abortions because they're so readily available, you know, and it's just, it's heartbreaking. You know, it's just, it's not something you can really get away from. It's something that haunts him daily. And as his friend, I felt so incomplete in terms of what to say. And I just know that people have addressed the mental weight of abortion, both on the girl and the guy, if the guy is even involved. And in this case, he was and wanted to be. So I just, I experienced that a couple months ago firsthand, and it totally rocked my world. I couldn't imagine the weight of that on someone's heart every day. And while there are a lot of different scenarios that I will never understand and know, this one's very close to home, and it's just really hard to see. And so, anyways, obviously her election for that abortion, I don't know the story there, it was in California, but either way, obviously it was readily available if she could do that, and I don't think she had to pay for it either. So, take that for what you may, but I'm very much in support of B49.
Dylan, thank you very much for coming before the committee and testifying. Very, very much appreciated. I'm going to go over to Anchorage LIO. We got Paige Hodson.
Good evening. My name is Paige Hodson. I am a mother of 3 children, a lifelong Alaskan, and I reside in Senator McGuire's district. I've also been a court-appointed special advocate for children and a volunteer at the Intermission Crisis Nursery that Senator McGuire mentioned earlier. I'm going to tell you a story about my parents, and it is relevant to this. They came to Alaska before statehood. My dad was a long-haul truck driver who cut his teeth during the war building the Alcan. My parents were quite poor, and they had come to Alaska to better themselves. They were young and in love, and as things happened, babies kept coming. This was before the advent of the pill, and birth control methods were not nearly as effective. They thought baby 4 would be the last, but 9 years later, my mother found herself pregnant with number 5. Living in a one-room house with no car, barely enough money to feed the 4 children she had, and raising them essentially alone due to my father's work, my mother collapsed from a combination of exhaustion, stress, and depression, and was hospitalized with suicidal ideations. Safe and legal abortion wasn't available to my mother, and she was not a well woman. Our family dove deeper into poverty when my father could not work to take care of a pregnant, fragile, and ailing wife and 4 young children. My mother recovered somewhat, and the pregnancy continued. During childbirth, something went wrong. Her doctor told her that both she and the baby were in grave danger, and that it came down to a decision of which life to save. My mother chose the baby's life, and thankfully both survived. That 5th baby was me. My own family story underlines vividly why women and their doctors must be given choice over their own lives, their own health, and their own families. I would have gladly exchanged my life for my mother's. Who knows what might have happened to my four brothers and sisters and my father had my mother taken her life or died in childbirth. But the bottom line, it was her decision to make. These sorts of decisions should never be limited by what an Alaska state legislator deems as necessary. Women's mental and physical health is too complex to be set down in a predetermined list for politicians to pick and choose what they deem medically necessary. Respectfully, you're not qualified to make those decisions. Please move to more important state business. We can't afford these continued attempts to micromanage women's lives. The Alaska courts have consistently held that we women have a fundamental right to privacy, and you may not discriminate between classes of women or genders in medical decisions. It's especially unnerving that you continue to try to undermine and take away rights from disadvantaged women who are less likely to have the ability to fight for their rights. We can't afford more million-dollar legal battles. I know some of you have deeply held convictions about abortion, and I know you're well-intentioned. Believe me, all of your constituents, regardless of some of the other testimony, all of your constituents love babies as much as you do. But the reality is that you will save more lives by fully funding family planning services and health care to all Alaskans than by trying to deprive women of the right to control their own lives and bodies. Thank you.
Thank you for coming out to testify and being patient with us. We've had many, many people coming in to testify. We're going to go to Kenai. Ed Gomes.
Yeah, hi, Mr. Chair, Senators. My name is Ed Gomes. I live in Soldotna, Alaska, on the Kenai Peninsula. I am not affiliated with any organizations at this time. I am a front street pro-life supporter as opposed to a back alley taker of innocent life. When I hear abortion supporters refer to pregnant women as clients, I can't help but think that people profit from the act of abortion. It's apparent abortion is treated as big business by pro-abortion advocates. With that said, this big business should not be supported by Alaska taxpayers. Not only am I a front street pro-life supporter, I am a proponent of smaller, efficient government that eases the burden on the taxpayer. There's a lot of rabbit trails that can be taken with regard to this issue. Those who are opposed to this bill make reference to how safe they have felt in our great state with access to elective abortion on the taxpayer's dime. Yet, there's somebody that is not so safe, and that would be the babies that are in the womb. Pro-abortion advocates confuse the issue of abortion with micromanaging women's lives, but really, it's about saving innocent lives. Those who are opposed to the bill believe mentally challenged people should not be denied Medicaid-supported abortions. These people obviously don't know my wife. My wife's mother was one of these mentally challenged people who had three children. She did not abort any of them, thank God, and they are all good parents and citizens today. My wife and I have two beautiful children that would not be here if my wife was denied a chance in life because of her mother's mental issues. I'm so glad that my mother-in-law did not abort my wife. My wife is very special, as are my children. One of my favorite books, authored by a close friend of mine, says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." I believe that says it all. I believe elective abortion is carelessly casting aside what God's masterful handiwork has put in order. I can't apologize for esteeming life and respecting the giver of life. I do want to say I appreciate Ms. McGuire's commentary on adoption. Just today, a co-worker got the good news that his wife and he have just adopted a little boy. And the mother is a 14-year-old girl. And so it's a real blessing to them. And I think she's probably on to something with her commentary there, and it struck a chord with me, especially knowing what I heard this morning. So I just want to thank you all and just pray that the right decisions are made with regard to this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, and I appreciate Ed taking time to come out. I have Ramona. Is it Doobie in Anchorage?
Yes. Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I really appreciate it. And I would like to also add that I appreciate Senator McGuire's comments, and perhaps, especially related to adoption, maybe there could be some connection made between the foster care system and the adoption. But I strongly oppose this bill. My personal story has been just a nightmare in this state. I would really like to see that we don't add in our efforts to save money, add to those who already have a mental illness, contribute to the stacks of people that are already experiencing mental illness. We don't need to add, you know, to the stacks of people that we're already providing services for, because we're meddling in issues where we have no business. You know, our medical issues belong not with the state. Who pays the bill is not something that needs to be worried about. And to me, if people are really concerned about the government not growing, this is an area where we can realistically scale back and put our efforts into something that is going to be meaningful. To me, I'm not a rocket scientist, but when it comes to language, but my faith says, born again tells me that life begins at birth. And that's the way I interpret it. And so I have the utmost respect and tolerance for people of different faiths. And to me, it appears that there is a lot of a certain type of faith-based issues that are entering into this particular bill, and I would like to see there not be so much focus. So that's why I oppose this, and I really do appreciate the opportunity to speak to this. Thank you so much.
Ramona, thank you very much for taking the time to testify. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Go to the room. We have John, is it Sonnen? I think he had to leave. I'll wait and see if he comes back in. We have Jeff Mittman. Jeff, you're online. Identify yourself. And your
Mr. Chair, this is Jeffrey Mittman with the ACLU of Alaska. I believe the committee has our testimony. As you're aware, the ACLU opposes this legislation for the reasons previously stated in both written and oral testimony, and we are available to answer questions if needed.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you taking the time to be available. We have Pat Martin on Wasilla. Pat, are you there?
Oh, there we go. Thank you very much. My name is Pat Martin. I appreciate your setting this up and allowing us to testify. And I'm testifying on behalf of myself. I'm an individual. And as I listen to the other testimonies, remember what the purpose of this is all about is the defining of what is medically necessary. And it's curious to really hear so many of the differing opinions on this. And really what it comes down to is it comes down to that ensuing poverty or existing poverty or perhaps prosperity lost or certainly the inconvenience that's lost by having a child, none of those should ever be the basis for medical necessity. Especially when you're considering the termination of the life, whether somebody says that the life begins at birth or whether they understand that 23 chromosomes are married to 23 chromosomes and life then is sparked right there at conception. Either way, it is a life. And if you want to take that concept of, you know, life begins at birth, well, there's plenty of examples that show that at 24 weeks, a life is viable. And the medical community will invest vast amounts of technology and resources and skill and money to save the life of a child born at 24 weeks. Yet we have other people saying that for the sake of preventing poverty or guaranteeing some kind of prosperity or protecting somebody's convenience, that we should end that very same life. And somehow poverty, prosperity, or convenience is the basis of medical necessity. I support SB 49, and I thank you guys for doing this, and I appreciate the ability to provide testimony.
Thank you, Pat, for taking the time to testify. I have private practice doctors, both Dr. Colleen Murphy and Jody Dominguez. If I said that right, did you want to testify together? Because I have you down as together here.
No, we'd like to testify separately, please.
Okay. All right. Identify yourself. And is this Colleen?
Yes, please. My name is Dr. Colleen Murphy. I'm a board-certified obstetrician-gynecologist who has lived in Alaska since 1987, and I am an abortion provider. I'd like to read to the group and have this read into testimony, or written into testimony, that medical necessity is a United States legal doctrine related to activities which may be justified as reasonable, necessary, and or appropriate based on evidence-based clinical standards of care. A lot of fancy words for something that took me quite a while to learn in medical school. I'd like to read to you likewise at this point what Amnesty International has described around the status of health, maternal health in the United States. It is more dangerous to give birth in the United States than in 49 other countries. African American women are almost four times greater risk of dying than Caucasian women. A safe pregnancy is a human right for every woman, regardless of race or outcome. Maternal mortality ratios have increased from 6.6 deaths per 100,000 live births in the United States in 1987 to 13.3 deaths per 100,000 live births in 2006. While some of the recorded increase is due to improved data collection, the fact remains that maternal mortality ratios have risen significantly. The U.S. spends more than any other country on health care and more on maternal health than any other type of hospital care. Despite this, women in the U.S. have a higher rate of dying of pregnancy-related complications than those in 49 other countries, including Kuwait, Bulgaria, and South Korea. African American women are nearly four times more likely to die of pregnancy-related complications than white women. These rates and disparities have not improved in more than 20 years. Maternal deaths are only the tip of the iceberg. During 2004 and 2005, more than 68,000 women nearly died in childbirth in the USA. Each year, 1.7 million women suffer a complication from pregnancy that has an adverse effect on their health. This is not just a public health emergency. It is a human rights crisis. Women in the U.S. face a range of obstacles in obtaining the services they need. The healthcare system suffers from multiple failures, discrimination, financial, bureaucratic, and language barriers. In addition, I'd like to share with you an overview of what maternal mortality is in the United States at this point. 3% of maternal deaths occurred after a spontaneous or induced abortion. 4% occurred after ectopic pregnancies. 15% occurred prior to delivery,
and 77% occur after delivery. And then I'd like to share with you a very important, the comparative safety of legal induced abortion and childbirth in the United States from the Green Journal that is called Obstetrics and Gynecology from February 2012. I quote, "We estimate mortality rates associated with live births and legally induced abortions in the United States in 1998 to 2005. We use data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's Pregnancy Mortality Surveillance System, birth certificates, and the Guttmacher Institute surveys. In addition, they searched the population-based data comparing the morbidity of abortion and childbirth."
Doctor, there's a lot of...
I will finish this up.
Doctor, there's a lot of statistics.
The associated mortality rate among women who delivered live births was 8.8 deaths per 100,000 live births. The mortality rate related to induced abortion was 0.6 deaths.
Dr. Murphy.
Yes, sir.
A lot of statistics.
May I finish with the last statement? The legal induced abortion is markedly safer than childbirth. The risk of death associated with childbirth is approximately 14 times higher than that with abortion. So I leave you with this thought, that medically necessary, when I counsel a patient, if she has a 14 times rate higher of dying from giving birth compared to going ahead with a medically necessary abortion, that is something I think we should provide to women under the Alaska State Medicaid
Doctor, care system. I've given you plenty of time. I was just going to ask you to supply us with a statistical review of what you brought before us. So I'd appreciate you sending that committee. I would appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You bet. And
we're
going
to go next to somebody in the room here, Albert Judson.
Ms. Dingus is with me. I think she was...
Yes, so we'll get to her in a minute. You took, I think, most of her time, so we'll get back to you in a minute. Now I got somebody in the room that wants to come before us. So, Albert. Albert, thanks for coming before the committee. Identify yourself, any affiliation, and give us your testimony.
Yeah, I'm speaking in favor of Senate Bill 49. Thank you for allowing me to exercise my First Amendment rights. My name is Albert Judson. I'm a registered voter and Alaska resident. I'm not Republican or Democrat. I'm Alaska native from the Tlingit tribe. I'm a retired fisherman, patrolman, and village public safety officer. I have an associate in arts degree from Arkansas City Junior College in Arkansas City, Kansas. I'm also a qualified chemical dependency counselor and received my qualification from Seattle University in Seattle, Washington. I am a Christian and very much pro-life. I don't belong to the pro-life movement. I am pro-life because my father, Albert Judson Sr., and my mother, Mary Judson, were. When I was born, I was so small that you could put a doll's clothes on me. My parents were told that I would be dead before the year was over. My dad took me upstairs, heated up milk, and fed me with an eyedropper. That's how small I was. While he fed me, my mother prayed for me. I don't know. In modern times, maybe they would have aborted me. And I mean, according to abortion. The definition of abortion is to terminate a fetus. To terminate is to bring to an end. A fetus is an unborn or unhatched vertebrate. So abortion is to bring to an end an unborn vertebrate. In Alaska, there were 623 abortions in 2011. The cost for an abortion in Alaska is $700 to $1,000. So the total cost under the $700 formula would be $436,000. Under $1,000, it would be $623,000. Nationwide, there are about 1.1 million abortions a year. If you multiply that times $700 or $1,000, what you get is big business. Big business. Millions and billions of dollars. I don't know how many abortions there were under Medicaid in Alaska. Maybe all of them were. If you add the medical and or emotional costs for an abortion, the cost is very high. On March 7th, the United States House of Representatives voted in order to prevent a federal shutdown. Based on the fact that there's a federal dollar problem, it comes down to what's affordable. When you consider the fact of the cost of an abortion and look at the total cost, the impact on Medicaid should be kept to a minimum. These are the reasons why I'm in favor of Senate Bill 49, as it is written, that an abortion under Medicaid should only be paid in case of rape, incest, or medically necessary reasons. Because of my belief in life, it is a major compromise for me to agree to any kind of abortion. The three categories in Senate Bill 49, rape, incest, and medically necessary reasons, would put a very necessary limit on abortions paid by Medicaid. Since 1973, abortion clinics are all over the United States. In order to protect all the parties constitutionally, perhaps there should be adoption clinics as well. There could be facts and figures available for all parties at each clinic, at the abortion clinics as well as the adoption clinics. I'm very much in favor of adoption clinics. In the meantime, I'll be hoping and praying for an end to abortion and the Roe versus Wade decision. And on the back of what I gave you, you'll see the risks for an abortion, emotional costs as well as medical costs, and the article from June Empire.
Thank you very much. Very well thought out testimony, and appreciate it. Thanks for coming in. We have Joanne Bloom also here. Joanne, thank you for...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators. You know, I have to start out by complimenting you. I just live up the street here, and it's very easy for me to come. And I was thinking, why am I going to go? They're not listening. They have their minds made up already. You know, why bother? But I can see that you are listening and that you are open to hearing what we have to say. So I just want to take 1 minute to say I'm in opposition to this bill. I heard what Karen Robinson had to say. She's speaking from her intellect. I tend to speak from my gut. You know, you and I have something in common. We're all advantaged, and we have the means to make our own choices. Well, I'm speaking for the disadvantaged that don't have the means to make their own choices. And since our Constitution likes to promise our Alaskans that we're all treated equally, I'd like you to keep in the means for the disadvantaged to also be able to make the choices that we do. So I thank you very much.
And thank you very much for coming down to the committee. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Joanne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Dyson?
Yeah, thank you. That's all right. No, I didn't want to ask you a question. Thank you. Albert? Albert, I knew your dad, and he was a good friend to me, and you chose wisely in having him for a dad.
Thank you. That's great.
I'm going to keep moving along. We have several on off-net, and I will go to a couple more off-net and two in LIOs, and then I'll come back to the one remaining here in this. So. We have Doug McGinnis in Wasilla. Is Doug McGinnis on?
Hello, my name is Doug McGinnis. I'm speaking on behalf of myself from Wasilla. First, I'd like to support Senate Bill 49. Again, the focus payment for abortions, that's the focus of this bill. I'd like you to move it forward. It's excellent legislation. I appreciate your work on it. And the question here, as many have said, well, as many have alluded to, is not about whether a woman may or may not get an abortion. The question of this bill, Senate Bill 49, is about who pays for the killing of unborn children in certain circumstances. And we need to stay focused on the bill. It's defined as medically necessary. You did a great job defining it. And I'd like to make everyone aware that of Medicare, it pays for medically necessary procedures. Medicaid pays for medically necessary procedures. This bill recognizes that Medicaid should cover only medically necessary abortions, keeping in line with the policies of Medicaid. Medicaid does not cover elective procedures, and the bill says that Medicaid should not cover elective abortions. That's why the bill is brilliant, and I commend you for it. I think we all ought to look with skepticism with the data provided about Amnesty International. It's simply dishonest and false, outright false. So who in their right mind believes the United States is a dangerous place to live for pregnant women? I don't see any exodus going on. I haven't read any articles in the paper. I don't hear any concerns of mothers. I know mothers, in my experience, don't hold back when they have a problem or they see concerns, especially when it relates to their children. The dangerous state of affairs here in the United States relates to the dangers faced by the unborn child. More than 50 million children were killed in the last since 1973, and that's the real danger. I think the opponents of this bill are going to lose money, and that's the focus of their interest. They are not concerned about free choice of other people who don't want to pay for abortions. And anyway, I really want to thank you, Senators, for working this bill, and keep up the great work, and may the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate you taking your time to come out. Jared McClure. Can you hear me, Jared? Jared went off net. Okay, sorry. Kathleen Taun. I know for those holding on off net, I know it's a long hearing, but I've been working my way down through as fast as I can. So, Kathleen, is it Taun or Tun?
Yes. This is Kathleen Taun.
Taun.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Thank you for calling
in. I'm standing out here in front of the sunshine in Anchorage, Alaska, and I represent three parties. I represent Jehovah, God Almighty, the Holy Bible, and the unborn. And listening to the testimony that I've listened to off this phone, it has come from three different perspectives, the spiritual, the intellect, and the emotional. I would just like to read the definitive word of God, which is the absolute authority on the issue of human life. Out of Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it reads, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him, male and female he created them." So life comes from God. And if there's going to be a disillusion to that life, it happens through the purpose of miscarriage, or through the venue of miscarriage. Abortion is not of God, and I support your bill, and I thank you for working on that. But I, as a taxpayer, and having lived in this state for 32-plus years, do not want my money, or any other citizen's money sowed into elective abortion. I will tell you this. I had a young lady, a military young lady, come to my office less than an hour after she had an abortion at Alaska Regional. She came weeping into my office, basically unannounced, that she had killed a child because after the procedure was completed, she was decimated.
I have a sister who got pregnant at age 21, 22. She was in the military. She had no one to care for her child, and the Navy requires that you have someone to care for the child. She put her child up for adoption. 30 years later, that boy found her. I know a young lady who got raped when she was held hostage. The rapist is in prison presently, but she kept the little baby, and the little boy is 7 years old, and she's not even a Christian. Loves that child dearly. I had a brother who impregnated a young lady who he was in love with, and she went and had an abortion. His heart was completely shattered at the news that she went and had an abortion. I had a sister who got pregnant out of wedlock, and I tried to talk her into letting me take the child because she was contemplating an abortion. Well, she decided she would keep the child. She went on to have three other children. Loved them dearly. My mother had 12 children and almost died with each and every one of those children. And she had the choice to have an abortion. The doctors say you can have an abortion. She chose to hold on even if she did in the process. She went on to have 12 healthy children, many who have master's degrees and who are pursuing PhDs and who are contributing members of communities around this United States. So I'm going to get off the line, but I want to say to you, thank you for creating this bill. And I pray that this bill goes through. And to the woman who gave all her erroneous data, and to the first woman who talked about her little butchery, I will pray for those two, because the Lord says, pray for your enemies. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Thank you.
Kathleen, thank you very much for coming to the committee and holding on line for so long. And we're going back up to, is it Jody Dominguez? Dominguez? Is she on?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Jody Dominguez.
Thank you.
I live in House District 21, Senate Seat K. I feel it is very important to speak to you today to encourage you to vote no on Senate Bill 49. I oppose this bill for a promise that I made to myself, my friends, my family, and my neighbors. I have preached to them on how important it is to vote, because people in office make decisions that affect our everyday lives. My promise to them was that when I vote, I would consider how it would affect everyday lives that are affected. And with that said, how would a yes vote affect the everyday lives of our society? I hear people complaining about our taxpayer dollars, and will it cost taxpayer money to fund abortions? No, because the cost associated with childbirth, neonatal, pediatric care greatly exceeds the cost of an abortion. Public funding for abortions neither costs the taxpayers money nor drains resources from other services. The life of an unplanned pregnant woman is definitely affected for the rest of her life. The life of an unplanned child forced into a situation for the rest of its life, feeling uncomfortable and feeling like it's an inconvenience. Have you ever heard parents tell their children that they can't afford their clothes or food? Voting yes is forcing parents to have unplanned pregnancies. The food that they eat, the household environment and income, everything is changing without plans. You will be creating unhappy childhoods in a society that is already gun-happy, drug-happy. People are missing the big thing. We need happier people. If you vote no on Senate Bill 49, you will be preventing unhappy childhoods. Why would you say yes to a bill that is creating more unhappy childhoods? The women that is pregnant will be making the decision. They will have to live with it for the rest of their lives. Will you please focus on less crime, less rapes, less unhappy childhoods? A society with happier and healthier lives with planned pregnancies. And please separate church from the state.
Thanks for taking the time to testify. We're going to go back to the room here. We got Kendi Leslie. Thanks for being patient with us, Kendi. And next I'll be going up to Wasilla. So if there's, I think we have somebody up in Wasilla. Lisa, you might be ready. So thank you for coming to the committee, Kendi.
Hello, my name is Kendi Leslie, and I live in Fairbanks. And I am in favor of SB 49. And thank you for hearing what I have to say. First of all, I think that anytime we take the initiative to define terms in our legislation, I think that is a good thing. So I appreciate that we are defining medically necessary, because as I understand it, abortion should already be medically necessary, that is paid for with Medicaid money. So I think adding to the definition only helps clarify, and I think that's a good thing, because we need to steward our tax money well. And so having more concrete definition of what that means only alleviates confusion, I believe. Personally, I think that if something is not medically necessary, that means it is optional. And I don't think that optional procedures should be paid for with public money. Not all of them, obviously. And while I can understand that women want the right to choose, I think they should also have to pay for their choices. And I think that only makes sense to me. Regarding whether or not mental health issues should be covered in medically necessary, I think anytime we consider that, we need to be careful, because I don't think it is the government's right to say who is worthy to reproduce and who meets a certain standard financially or mentally to have children. I don't think that is something that the government should be responsible for. We live in an age when contraceptives are easily accessible. And I think that perhaps we should be concentrating more on prevention rather than the consequences of poor choices. Consequences are still in effect, and we are each responsible for our actions and the consequences thereof. And I don't think others should have to pay for all of my less than amazing choices. My mother, on a personal note, almost died when I was born. And many people tried to talk her into aborting me. But I'm very thankful for her sacrifices, both in having me and raising me, because anyone who has kids knows that that is a big commitment. And so I'm very thankful that she chose to keep me and to raise me as well as she did. And last of all, I want to say that I love my life in Alaska. And I implore all of you to keep working for what is right for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much for taking the time and being patient with us, and that's true for everybody online. Thank you very much. We have in Wasilla, Alicia, is it Musial?
Musial.
Okay, sorry. I appreciate it. Take your put your name on and for testimony for. Put your name on the record for the testimony, please. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Alicia Musio. I'm a low-income, 23-year-old mother of two, and I support SB 49. I want to testify to the fact that because a mother may get depressed, or money's tight, or that it's inconvenient, or because they want to control their reproducing, doesn't make it a medically needed abortion. I've decided that I don't want more kids at the moment, so I need birth control. Rape is not a valid reason to kill a baby either. I support born and unborn women's rights. Children conceived by rape are not any less worthy or worse than babies born in other conditions. Medicaid does not need to pay for someone else's elective abortion. I'm responsible for my decisions, and others should be also, by using birth control or allowing someone who truly wants that baby to do so. There are no truly unwanted babies. Just because I get pregnant and don't want that baby doesn't make it a medically needed abortion.
and should not be paid for by Alaskan tax dollars. That's really all I have to say.
Alicia, thank you very much, and I really appreciate you staying with us and testifying. That's true for all concerned here. We have Lori, is it Sanchi? She dropped? All right. I know that's a long wait for many, many people, but we're down to the last seven or eight people here, so I think we can go ahead and get everybody in. Keith Kerber in Big Lake.
Hello, sir. My name is Keith Kerber. I live in Fairbanks. I'm currently visiting my aging mother and father-in-law in Big Lake. I'm grateful for the chance to engage in the conversation. Spent 30 years defending our nation on active duty in the National Guard of Oklahoma and Alaska and the Army Reserve, and it's a delight to be part of the process. I am in favor of Senate Bill 49 because the issue of choice does not just reside with the person having the pregnancy. It is the person who is the result of the pregnancy and the action that created the pregnancy. So on behalf of the freedom of choice for the child that is within the mother, I'm advocating, as did another previous person giving testimony, that we hew to the idea that the number one issue at stake here is the issue of life and getting the chance to, in fact, have one. There's certainly been some wonderfully emotional, rational, and reasoned testimony about this, but at the end of the day, one of the arguments has been that it is not right for you or any member of the legislature to create or craft laws that would somehow impinge on the freedoms of the people of the state of Alaska. Well, in essence, our governmental structure, in fact, allows you to do exactly that thing in a whole host of areas. For example, you decide what the definition of murder is, what the definition of sexual assault is, what the definition of burglary is, what the definition of a host of other items is. And as a previously commissioned law enforcement officer in the state of Alaska, I was responsible for enforcing the definitions that you established at the legislative level. So again, thank you for allowing me to participate in the process that has been part of the American experiment since approximately 1776, or even going back further to the Mayflower Compact. I do support SB 49, and it is, I believe, within your rights as the legislators of the state of Alaska to craft such definitions, especially in an era of shrinking dollars. I will also advocate for life at this end, because I'm praying that we do not arrive at the day when people will be making medically necessary decisions about elderly people. Since my parents and my in-laws are definitely elderly, I would like to advocate for those who do not have a voice, so I can hopefully never get to the place where those people who have a voice are told by competent medical authorities that their quality of life is not such that they should be allowed to live any longer. Thank you for this opportunity to testify, and I pray for you as you guys work through this decision process. Thank you.
Keith, thank you, and thank you for your service to our country and taking the time to testify. Going to Jesse Ross.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thank you. My name is Jesse Ross. I'm a resident of Juneau, Alaska. I reside in Lemon Creek. I am wholeheartedly in support of this bill. This is very much needed for this great state. This high time that this legislation has come through. We need this definition. This isn't about this isn't about who decides or women's rights. It's about, do the people of Alaska want to pay for these abortions to happen? I don't want that. Furthermore, I have a hard time buying into the fact that the responsible people of Alaska should have to pay for the irresponsible actions and choices of others. There's plenty of other options available, contraceptives and other things like that. The people need to be responsible for their actions. If I don't buy into the fact that there's poor people or disadvantaged people, there's, you know, it's not rocket science here how a woman's body works. How we reproduce as humans. This isn't, it's not, oh, a surprise, we're pregnant. I mean, you know, well, you guys are having sex at this time during the month. Do you think that's an option? So this is really a great piece of legislation. This great state needs this bill. We need to move this forward. So please, leaders of this state, our Alaska legislatures, I implore you to support this bill. Let's move forward. This is high time. This is needed very much. And this definition is needed, and I very much appreciate Senator Dyson's work on this, and appreciate all of you listening to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much for taking your time to come testify before the committee. Greatly appreciate it. Peter Knox, can you hear us?
Yes, good evening. My name is Peter Knox. I'm calling from Anchorage. I'm not a doctor, and I don't need 4 or 5 minutes to say what I have to say. I am calling in support of SB 49, which simply proposes to staunch the use of my tax dollars to fund purely elective abortions. It is sometimes said that politicians should stay out of the doctor's office, or that politicians should not come between a woman and her doctor. By that logic, tax dollars should be kept out of the doctor's office as well. Let me say that again. By that logic, tax dollars should be kept out of the doctor's office as well. But since, in fact, my tax dollars, are involved in medicine, I applaud my elected representatives for taking steps to ensure that the state is not funding purely elective abortions. Thank you.
Thank you. I really appreciate the brevity, but the clarity. So thank you very much, Peter. Jan DeLand, or DeLand?
Yes, my name is Jan DeLand. I'm in Anchorage, and I support making changes to SB 49. I support clarifying what is a medically necessary abortion, which needs to be narrowed very much in my thinking that would be only someone who's facing an imminent, immediate loss of their physical life would qualify as a medically necessary abortion, because if the woman's going to die, then her child is likely going to die also. But there's also ways to save both lives in many cases. So I represent Operation Outcry, and these are women who have been injured by abortion, and testify to dispel the myths that abortion is good and safe for women, and also that it's not a baby being aborted. My DNC was because I was actually having a emergency. My doctor said I was bleeding to death, and there did seem to be evidence to that effect, but he said that my child was just a piece of tissue, and I was 4.5 months pregnant. And that, combined with the fact that I found out later that he was an abortionist, was very devastating to me. Not only physically, I had many, many miscarriages, but emotionally it was very devastating to me to learn that I had an abortionist advising me that I needed to get an abortion and kill my child, who I dearly loved, and was anxious to welcome into this world. And any abortionist that testifies, you know, their stats are way off, and I mean way off. I'm a past president of Alaska Right to Life, and I've studied this subject for many years. And there's a profit motive when a person actually provides an abortion and gets paid for it. There's a profit motive. And I don't think that should be taken lightly when someone testifies their supposed facts, because all of the facts that I hear from the abortionists are bogus. And they're not real facts. abortion is dangerous. It's devastating to the very purpose of and the gifting of women. And it causes breast cancer, especially if it's a first abortion. It causes psychological harm. That's why there's post-abortion support groups all over our nation. There are thousands and thousands of post-abortion support groups. And I've been reading actually for many years, at least weekly, of women who are either killed or severely injured and have to go to the hospital or have been coerced into abortion. And I say at least weekly because I've done a lot of studying on this, and it's what I do instead of having free time. And I really want to stand up for women and for children and for anyone who is at a disadvantage because they're not being told the whole truth and they're being put in danger. And additionally, I would like to see the provision for rape and incest withdrawn. I don't know if that's under consideration, but it will be eventually because that's on the side of right and truth. Because those children are valuable, just as any of us are, as human life. It's the criminal that should be punished, not the baby or the mother. And I am acquainted with many mothers, actually, who have become pregnant by rape. And the ones who chose abortion are very sorry for it now, and the ones who chose life are very happy that they did not participate in punishing someone who was innocent. They're very happy with the situation.
Jan, I'm going to have to ask you to wrap up, but I appreciate you taking the time.
That is.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate you taking the time. Very thoughtful, Deborah Barilli. Berlini, I'm sorry. I knew that.
Yeah. Good evening. My name is Deborah Berlini, and I'm testifying on behalf of myself, and I'm a supporter of this bill. In 1997, I had an on-call physician recommend that when I was 6 weeks pregnant, that I should seriously consider terminating my pregnancy. I was hospitalized for 11 days at the time with serious complications from asthma. I received Selumetra intravenously and narcotic cough syrup throughout my hospitalization. This on-call physician recommended the following. You should seriously consider terminating this pregnancy, and you have 2 weeks in the state of Alaska to do so. I was hospitalized at Alaska Regional. I shared with my on-call doctor upon his return from vacation and let him know that this on-call physician recommended that I abort my baby. My regular doctor stated to me firmly that terminating the pregnancy was never an option. Asthma does kill, and that would be a decision between myself and my asthma doctor, period. My son will be 15 on March 26th, and he was born 10 and a half pounds, and he was and continues to be happy and healthy. And I'm thankful for the exceptional care I received from my regular OBGYN, asthma doctor, and the nurses who cared for me through my difficult pregnancies and helped to bring my two children to term. Since having to choose life for my children, there are some checks and balances that I feel that have come into place. The implementation of the medical health record, which I was pleased to hear about, I do not believe that this on-call doctor would have recommended that I abort my son had he had access to my health record. He would have known that I was hospitalized with my daughter for 11 days with the same standard of care as Selumetra and narcotic cough syrup, and he would have known that my daughter was born healthy. I would like to believe that this on-call physician would have chosen life if he had had access to my entire health record. I'm thankful that you are defining medically necessary because there needs to be medical reasons in order to recommend abortion. Defining medically necessary will ensure that no other child's life will be subjected to an abortion unnecessarily. Thank you for taking my testimony.
Deborah, thank you very much for taking the time and being so patient. We're down to the last two people to testify, so I appreciate those people being patient. Pamela Marsh, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm still with you.
Thanks, Pamela, for coming to testify.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for taking the time to listen to me. My name is Pamela Mulch, and I'm from District H. I would recommend that you withdraw this bill for the following reasons. That for a politician or a legislator to try to define something that is really truly between the woman and the doctor. On a personal note, I have a very great son, but never in my life did I ever come so close to death than when I had that son. Luckily for me, I had a support system that was there for me, that could take care of me. Otherwise, I think I might not have made it. Not all women are as lucky as me. And I want you to consider the fact that it's also a woman's life that is on the line. I understand the value of life. There's no two people that I love more than my two sons. I would do the world for them. But I had that support system. And I just want you to realize that not all women have the support that I had. And that for you to define what's best for the woman when you're not the woman, you're not the one that's there laying on the bed near death, is something that I don't believe is anyone's right. I appreciate very, very much you taking the time to hear my testimony.
And thank you for taking the time and sharing your life with us and your testimony. Thank you. Jane, is it Langenbaugh? Jane, can you hear us? Do you have us on mute? Jane Langenbaugh?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Dee Langenbaugh.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the first name wrong. I'm sorry.
Oh, I don't know how I got in. Yeah, I was waiting for Jane to speak up.
It's Dee.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
I'm going to keep. Yes, you have all been so patient. My goodness, this is spilling way over. But I am calling to ask you to vote no on the Senate bill. And I just have a few quickie reasons here. One is somehow in all of this, the men are never liable. Huh. Things have been said if the man was doing the pregnancy, it would have been very different, but we don't know about that. Okay. Anyway, next, talk of my taxes as an Alaskan taxpayer. Well, from Anchorage, there are no taxes. They don't have sales tax, and there certainly is no income tax. So it's a little bit weird saying, well, I don't want my taxes used. And now we're getting a little more serious here. Well, no, that is serious. Anyway, my husband was a surgeon in Sitka for many years, and he was quite startled when the first bill allowing abortions and the state paying for them was passed some years ago. The first two women he had come in were both mothers. They were married. They had three children, and two or three children. I don't remember. I didn't know them. And they did not want, they felt the family simply could not afford to have another child. And that is, seems to rarely be brought up. But he was quite surprised. And then lastly, I would like to mention that a lot of this talk reminds me of what was said about the Reagan administration, that they cared deeply about the child from conception to birth. How many of these people have said anything realistic about what happens to unwanted children? That there, some are adopted, others are adopted by people we would rather not have. It's a very sad thing. And I think that people should be realistic about that. So anyway, I want to thank you for listening to me, Mr. Chair, and I urge people to vote no on Senate Bill 49. Thank you very much.
Dee, thank you very much. And I assure you that many of the people have been concerned about children afterwards, but I really appreciate you taking the time to testify. That's going to close public testimony. We will bring invited testimony in. I think we'll probably talk to the commissioner. And I am so grateful for the people who stayed here in the room to listen, to be a part of the discussion. It's obviously a very tense and contentious issue. It brings some of the issues that you brought up, Senator, and I will do my dead level best to make sure that we have that discussion. With that, we're going to close this committee. We'll bring this issue up probably on the Wednesday meeting. So if I can't get the commissioner here, then we'll bring it up at a later meeting. All right? All right, we're adjourned.